has not disappeared. How can we, as his followers, take care that he is always with us? How can we make the word disappearance day into appearance where Prabhupada appears in our heart? This will be my subject matter, and I pray to Srila Prabhupada and to the assembled Vaishnavas that it will be possible for me to say something important and grasp your attention totally so that you do not fall asleep totally bored. Hare Krishna. In our Shastras, there is a verse which says that the Guru is identical with the mantra which he has given. When Srila Prabhupada visited us in Germany, he once said, "I have not come to teach you anything. I have just come to ask you to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Purify your consciousness and realize your original position." Now we all know when our consciousness is pure, we will understand that we are eternal servants of Radha and Krishna, and we will more specifically understand who we are as eternal servants of Radha and Krishna. Now the way by which Srila Prabhupada wanted this change or purification in consciousness to happen is by giving us the mantra, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. When you chant a mantra and you learn to chant it purely, the Ishta Devata, that means the Lord of your heart and the Lord of the mantra, will come out of the mantra. In other words, if you chant Hare Krishna, one day you will perceive Radha and Krishna dancing on your tongue and in your heart when you learn to chant properly. Srila Prabhupada's whole life as an acharya was focused on the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. When he was preparing himself to go to the West, he would sit in Vrindavan and chant every day 1 lakh of the holy names. Earlier, devotees who have seen Prabhupada in Vrindavan have noted that once he was at the banks of the Yamuna, he had placed a danda in the sand and he was doing kirtan around the danda, around at the bank of the Yamuna, chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Now, when he came to America, all what he did really in the beginning was chanting the mantra. There is one tree which you all must visit. It's a holy tree. Yes, in America there is one holy tree for sure. It stands in a little park, Tompkinson Square Park, and it has an inscription, a table, put there by the town of New York, and this it says, "This tree And it gives the botanical name Trius supercus or whatever. This tree is holy for the Hare Krishna people, because it was under this tree that the founder of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness sat and chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. My dear devotees, Prabhupada would go regularly to this tree, sit under this tree, and take out a little drum. It's called a bongo, because it makes bong bong. And he would sing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra for hours. And soon many New Yorkers came, and it was known that this is a spiritual event happening in the town. And even famous celebrities came, like Allen Ginsberg, who joined Prabhupada in the chanting of the Maha Mantra. Throughout his teaching or spreading Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada remained chanting the mantra. Guru Gauranga Prabhu says that once he had invited a big politician from Geneva to come and meet his spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada asked the politician, "Do you have any question?" And the politician said, "No." And then Prabhupada took out a harmonium and started to sing Hare Krishna. And the politician had to sit there for 1 hour, listen to him. And at the end, Prabhupada stopped his singing and said, "This is what we do." This is what we do. Towards the very end of Srila Prabhupada's pastimes here with us, and we will hear in detail about this from His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj, who was there. Srila Prabhupada, towards the end, or at the end, he had always devotees surrounding him, chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra to him. Now, you are also chanting, but do you feel that your heart is purified? Do you sometimes feel that when you chant that Radha and Krishna are hearing you? If we want to honor Srila Prabhupada on his disappearance day, we must honor his gift, because great acharyas live on. They don't die if the followers keep their gifts alive. I would like to give a few anecdotes about what Prabhupada said, how we can chant properly, so that the fruit of chanting can come, that is, our consciousness can actually be purified, and we can actually have Krishna in the core of the heart. Once Srila Prabhupada was asked by one of his godbrothers, O.B.L. Kapoor, who had the spiritual name Adi Keshava Das, a very important question. Prabhupada said this O.B.L. Kapoor, who is a professor, was a professor of philosophy at the Banaras University, Hindu University. No, that's not right. In Allahabad he was, not Benares. So He was asked, OBL Kapoor asked Srila Prabhupada, "I can see," the professor said, "that you have pure love of Krishna." At that time, Srila Prabhupada was in his Grihastha ashram, and he had a pharmacy. Do you know what is a pharmacy? Where you buy medicines, and the pharmacists at that time would mix different chemicals and make medicines. So OBL Kapoor asked, "Do you have the formula? You are a pharmacist. Do you have the formula for pure love of Krishna?" Take a little sulfur, add a little mercury, stir it, drink it, and pure love of God, it is there. "Do you have the formula?" Prabhupada said, "Yes." Then OBL Kapoor asked, "And can you give it to me?" Prabhupada said, "Yes. Trinarapi sunichena taroriva sahishnuna amanena manadena kirtaniya sadahari." A formula is you need to chant the mantra in a mood which is more humble than that of the straw on the street. The straw on the street thinks, the devotee thinks, the straw in the street is so useful, but I'm so useless. The straw in the street can feed the cow. The cow can give milk. But I have given no service. I'm so useless. The straw in the street can be used in the roof to cover the house of a devotee. But I have not rendered service to the devotees. Therefore, I'm lower than the straw in the street." And you must be tolerant. Tolerant with whatever comes your way and seems to upset you. You must, in addition, also be Radha one of Prabhupada's earliest books. It was written in Radha Damodar temple, and Prabhupada was at that time very without means, and he took paper which was on one side already printed. There was some scientific information about Sputniks and rockets who were flying to the moon. So Prabhupada would take that paper which had was printed on one side and wrote his notes, wrote his book Easy Journey to Other Planets on the other side. This book was published in India and it was republished in America. And when Prabhupada republished the book in America, he had someone edit it and he said he wanted a cover. Please listen to this cover. Prabhupada said, you should have on one corner the material world, and on the other corner, the spiritual world, with the lotus and Radha and Krishna in the lotus. And then, you should paint one devotee who is with dhoti and neck beads and shika, and he should be depicted as he goes from the material world to the spiritual world. And how does he go? He has in one hand his mala, like this, flying mala. He goes, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And by this, by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, he goes from the material world to the spiritual world. And those of you who are connoisseurs of simple art, they have seen this picture. Have you seen this earlier picture? Maybe not, because it was done so so simple that later the cover was changed. But the early picture, we got this in Germany, and we had to translate from that book, and we had to take the same picture. And this was Prabhupada's faith, and it was his mission statement that this chanting can transfer a conditioned soul and bring him from the material world to the spiritual world. That was his mood. Now I would like to close my anecdotes. Time came for Srila Prabhupada where he would regularly give hints that he would not stay long with us. The devotees were working at that time very hard to finish the Juhu Beach Temple or Radha Rasa Bihari Mandir, and they were working very hard on his quarters. So Prabhupada obliged them in their love by going into these half-finished quarters. And the last anecdote is in this time. At that time, Prabhupada had a very dear friend, Mr. Seth. Do I say it properly? Mr. Sethi. And Mr. Sethi was a very nice devotee. He had organized one group and of kirtan lovers, and they would do kirtan each Sunday at some other location. I've written this down for you. Mm. It was called the Radha Madhava Prema Shuddha Sankirtan Mandala. Wonderful name. The pure Sankirtan circle who would sing about the love of Radha Madhava. And every Sunday they would have a 12-hour Akanda Kirtan. and somehow Mr. Sethi asked if they could have the kirtan in the Juhu Beach temple on one Sunday. They would go from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. and then have 2 hours Braj-related bhajans. You know, Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Syam, Jai Jai Sivindavan Dham, and such bhajans. So, Prabhupada had the, when they were there, had the windows wide open and listened intently during the whole kirtan. Now, when at the end of the Harinam kirtan, the Hare Krishna kirtan, one of the ladies started to chant, Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavan, Radhe Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavan, and so on. Then Prabhupada asked his servant to help him get up. That was just months before his departure, and help him to the balcony. Prabhupada somehow stood at the balcony, and the singers who had chanted 12 hours Hare Krishna and were now singing the love to Vrindavan saw Srila Prabhupada on the balcony, and the kirtan picked up in momentum, and Prabhupada stood there and he actually cried tears. He was so moved. At the end of this program, he called for Giriraj Swami, the then temple president of the temple, and he said, we have built this temple for this. We should have every day 12-hour kirtan in this temple. Giriraj thought, oh, we have so many services, Srila Prabhupada. It is, we are building the temple, and devotees go and go out and make life members. And it's very difficult if everyone just sits and chants. And then Prabhupada reluctantly said, but at least every Sunday there should be just chanting going on in this temple of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And that was done in Juhu. That was a firm established tradition. Prabhupada had so much faith in the holy name. He thought everything would be taken care of if you chant the holy name, just like all the leaves of a tree would automatically be watered if you would water the roots. Once there was an ant crawling on his table, and he called one of his disciples and asked him, do you see? At first the disciple didn't see the ant because an ant is very small. Then Prabhupada said, see this ant. Then he asked the disciple, what is your duty towards this ant? So the disciple most probably didn't know that he had a duty to perform towards the ant. you know ant, huh? Not this is the ant, but ant with T. You know. So then Prabhupada told the disciple, your duty towards the end is to make it chant Hare Krishna. When he would walk and little girls would come and imitate, you know, they make a little bit maybe fun out of the devotees going like, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, you know. Prabhupada stopped his morning walk and he said, now our movement is successful. These girls chant Hare Krishna. There was once this terrible movie about us. It was called, because I can't speak Hindi, I've written it down. Dam Maro Dam Hare Krishna Hare Ram. Now, for those of you who don't know what this means, Dam Maro Dam means take another puff from the hashish shilom and then Hare Krishna Hare Ram. And the movie started very nice. It had, what did it have? It had a scene of the Ratha Yatra, then there was an ocean, and then there was Prabhupada, and it said, Prabhupada has taken the Hare Krishna movement and the Ratha Yatra and all this over the ocean to the western countries. And this was all very good, but then it showed hippies smoking hashish. Meaning to say, Prabhupada has degraded the precious Indian cultures and given some of it to hippies who were now doing a hippie culture. There was a rumor that this movie was influenced by government intelligentsia, which was concerned that too many people were becoming Hare Krishna. This was like a movie to throw dirt on the Hare Krishna movement. It was terrible, we thought. So devotees went to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, they have made this movie where they drag the movement which you have started through the dirt. Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. And Prabhupada said, no, this is very good. Dam-radam is temporary and material. It will be forgotten. But Hare Krishna, Hare Ram is there. This is eternal. This is spiritual. It will purify the consciousness. Very good. Just see the vision of Srila Prabhupada. And more so, please see the emphasis which he put from the beginning to the middle and to the end on the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So on this disappearance day of Srila Prabhupada, I would like to make a revolutionary suggestion to all of you. Are you ready for this? Well, don't yell before you know what it is. Maybe you will not like it. But now you have all shouted in joy, now you have to do it. Shout always later. Not before. No, I'm just saying it for dramatic effect. I know you will like the suggestion. The acharya lives in his instructions. And his instructions to the Hare Krishna movement is to become the Hare Krishna movement. In other words, to chant the Hare Krishna mantra with utmost attention and to give that the first place in your life. You have, this is a little side note, you have to learn a little bit
in order to chant. It's not that just by trying it you have to learn from the devotees who know how to chant. You have to watch them. You have to study a little bit the books, and we will not get into this here. Make this instruction your guiding force in life. Plan your day in such a way that there are two or one and a half to two undisturbed hours where you can really chant with full attention, and you will see that the promise of Srila Prabhupada, that you will purify your consciousness and realize your original position as an eternal servant, that this will come true. We should have Prabhupada an eternal place in our hearts, and that we will do if we follow this most important instruction of him to chant the Hare Krishna mantra free from offenses. This is the most important instruction, and if you keep this instruction, you will keep Srila Prabhupada always in your heart and in your side, by your side. Your community, the Radha Gopinath community, or sometimes it's known as the Simple Temple or the Chopati devotees, is world famous. You have reached under the leadership of His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj tremendous results. You are a very world famous community with all your wonderful intelligent devotees, with the temple, with the farm project, with the schools, with all the many things I don't even know because it's so many. World famous, exemplary community. And we can only congratulate you for having such a wonderful Vaishnav and servant of Srila Prabhupada as His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj as your servant. If you now, on top of this all, make the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra the 16 rounds, there's only one and a half hours to 2 hours. If you make this a prime emphasis in your life, if each one of you becomes a pure chanter, wow! Then there is no limit to what you can achieve. And please take this little instruction, this little suggestion, I'm not one to instruct anyone, this little suggestion as something from this Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day, and you will see, this day will be the memorable day of your life. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gonitai ki jai, Sisi Radha Gopinatha ki jai, Shri Giriraj Govardhan ki jai, jai Sri Radhe, jai jai Sri Radhe, jai jai Sri Radhe. Shyam.
Why don't you put the mic there? Okay. Om Jnana Nandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Daksuran Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Vancha Kopa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Thank you. This morning we had a very wonderful function where many of us had already spoken, so I'll just speak briefly. I had asked the question, someone had asked me the question, was Prabhupada an enlightened soul? And I was thinking very deeply, and I really wanted to pinpoint the essence. What was the quality in Prabhupada that made him what he was? And I was recalling one time Prabhupada was in his room in Calcutta, and he had returned from America successful. And he was meditating himself. And he used the phrase, "Why was I the lucky one?" In other words, in terms of what he accomplished. And I think he's reflecting also on his illustrious godbrothers, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was attracting so many qualified people in Bengal that Subhash Chandra Bose, who is the head of the Nationalist Army, they actually came to complain. So many qualified people were joining Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. And of course, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta pointed to his disciples who were the traditional renunciates, no shoes, very simple, and he said that they won't be any use for you. But the point was, there were so many qualified people. And Prabhupada was meditating, why was I the lucky one? And then he thought to himself that he was 100% faithful to the order of his spiritual master, and he became empowered. And I was meditating on what was that faith. We also know that Prabhupada's personal inspiration to actually take up a mission and make the sacrifice that he did was based on reading a purport by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur on a verse in Bhagavad Gita. Vivasayatmika buddhi eke ha kurunandana. That one in devotional service is fixed and resolute. And the commentary of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, which Prabhupada was reading, the commentary was that means that one takes the order and mission of his spiritual master as his life and soul. So Prabhupada read that and became inspired, because his spiritual master told him when he first met him, you're a young man, you understand English, you should take this message to the West. So what is faith? And I was explaining Prabhupada's definition. He gave a very powerful definition of what is faith. Sometimes we think faith is I believe or I don't believe. But faith is actually our level of conviction. And Prabhupada gave a very wonderful definition that faith means to trust in something sublime. So your faith is where you find sublimity. And we ourselves are finding sublimity, even as devotees, in so many things. But Prabhupada's quality is, he had unflinching faith. His faith in sublimity was exclusive devotional service. He had full trust that there was nothing higher. There was nothing that would lead to any more auspicious goal than the service of Sri Krishna, no matter what sacrifice one would make. And he internalized that. And because of that conviction, he was able to communicate that to others. There's a verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita that says, Brahmanda Brahmate Konya Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Pasadi Bhai Bhakti Lata Beej, that we're wandering from universe to universe, species of life to species of life, until by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, we get the seed of devotional service. What is that seed of devotional service? It's the conviction that the best thing is to serve Krishna. The best thing is to give your life to the divine. And it's not just a theoretical experience. It's the actual taste and experience you have for that. Prabhupada gave to people in such a profound way, not just the conception that serving Krishna is the best thing, but also the taste for it. And then that taste grows at different convictions. Devotional service becomes so great that anartha nivritti, you're willing to give up things that have no value to it. And then your faith can grow more. Nishta, it's so good, I'll do it all the time. And then the faith, adau shraddha tata sadhu sangha, it grows to the level of prema. And the level of prema, there's nothing else in the consciousness but God and your feelings of attraction. And when you have that conviction in the heart, that communicates to others. And that's Prabhupada's glory. His glory is this, that it continues in disciplic succession. That same Anya bilashita shunyam jnana karma jnavritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti uttama bhakti, pure devotional service. It continues in disciplic succession. So Prabhupada's glory and the proof of his state of consciousness is the effect that it had on so many people and how it continues to carry on. So this is a day where we pray and we open up our hearts and we renew our own conviction that we should step into the line of, just like Satchinandana Swami was explaining this morning from the 10th canto, there was a vision of Krishna taking prasadam with the cowherd boys, and all the cowherd boys were surrounding him in concentric circles. And Krishna was in the center. And Prabhupada made the commentary that When you put Krishna in the center, you become happy and blissful. That's faith. Faith means I want to serve the center, not to be the center. And for that, you'll make any sacrifice because you have that conviction, you have that experience. So this is a day where we remember Prabhupada and we remember his strong conviction because he's experiencing it. And because he's experiencing it, as Borijan Prabhu is mentioning, one of the wonderful things about these remembrances of Prabhupada is that devotees open their hearts. And when they open their hearts, what do you see? It's a very wonderful thing. You see that same conviction. Maybe not to the same degree, but the same conviction that if we, in a humble way, serve the disciplic succession, then that same channel of pure bhakti, that same conviction flows to us. And that's what preaching is. You open your heart, but you have to have something that is there. And what is that? The mood of service that comes in line from your teachers. So this is the offering to Prabhupada. When devotees here come in that conviction, in the mood of service. So we try to remember Prabhupada on this day. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Om Agyanatamirandasya Jana Jana Salakaya Chaksu Samilatan Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sa Pandantikam Vansha Kaupatubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayivacha Patitanam Prabhanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama. Being in touch with Srila Prabhupada, with his consciousness, was, of course, quite an experience. Because Prabhupada's consciousness was quite unfathomable. And his consciousness was very extreme in its dedication to Krishna, but he was continuously and only inspired, on fire, I would say. And his vision was huge. When, in the very early days of the movement, before I began chanting at 26 Second Avenue, the doors were always open. And the most interesting and unique people would come through those doors to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So there was one fellow who was a very contemporary musician. And he used to come in and he, with a part of a piano, the strings of a piano, and bang those. And that was his contribution to the kirtan. And that person at one point was holding a concert at Carnegie Hall. And he invited Prabhupada to come. And Prabhupada agreed, amazingly enough. And he went to the concert and sat through the first half of the concert. And he watched this fellow open up a piano and bang on the strings. And then at the intermission, Prabhupada politely thanked him, and then he left. And the devotees asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, why did you go to this concert? And Prabhupada replied, it was in Carnegie Hall, which is one of the most famous music halls in the United States and in New York. And he said, I wanted to see whether it would be suitable for a temple. His vision, and this is when there was no Hare Krishna movement practically. Now, another way that Prabhupada acted with incredible vision, he once wrote me a letter and said that whoever you meet, tell them to chant Hare Krishna. Now, this letter wasn't just a personal and private letter to Burijan. This is what Prabhupada, this was Mahaprabhu's order, Amara Gyai Guru Hai Tare Desh. Just imagine what would happen if all of you, everyone you met, you encouraged to chant Krishna's holy names. Just imagine the effect on the world, and that was Prabhupada's vision. Another time, I was in the Philippines with Srila Prabhupada, and very fortunate to be there. And there was a big program, and it was during the time of martial law. And there were no gatherings allowed, but yet Prabhupada was coming, so they organized a gathering, and about 500 or 600, perhaps 700 people came, mostly Indians. So right before the presentation, while everyone was filing in, myself and Jagatwini Mataji were sitting alone in a room with Prabhupada, the blue room, it's called, before the room that the actors wait in before they go on stage. And Prabhupada, because my wife was an actress, Prabhupada said, oh, this is the blue room. You know what a blue room is? Prabhupada had, he knew about all kinds of things. But in any case, he picked up a little wooden flag from this little room that was part of the hotel's, it was just there, and it just broke, and Prabhupada just laughed inside. And in that simple laugh, we can understand, he was saying, just see the nature of the things of this world. You pick them up, you touch them, they break. They're temporary. And then he said to us, it is my desire, the topic I'm speaking about is Prabhupada's vision, it is my desire that everyone in the universe become Krishna conscious. Not even in this world or this country, but he said, everyone in this universe. And then he said, please help me with this desire. Again, even though I was fortunate to be hearing that from Srila Prabhupada, but everyone in the universe become Krishna conscious. Do you think you can find some service with a vision like that? There is enough room for everyone. That was Prabhupada's vision. It was big. And then Prabhupada walked down into the hall, and with all the mostly, again, Indian gentlemen and their wives sitting there, he gave a lecture. And then he asked for any questions, if there were any questions. And one person stood up. He said he had a question, and he walked over to the microphone in the back. And he began speaking. And after 10, 15, 20 seconds, even 30 seconds, no one could understand what he was saying, and it never came to a question even. He was just in love with holding the microphone, basically, which is easy to fall into, I have to admit it. But so after about a minute, Prabhupada said into the microphone, "Are you finished?" And the man said, "No." The whole room was listening, but I don't think anyone could understand the point that he was making. I couldn't. One of the devotees, who was a heavy gunda type, of course, devotees are never gundas, but he wanted to grab the microphone from him. But the leader there said, "No, no, let's watch and see how Prabhupada deals with this." So the man continued to speak for another minute, perhaps a minute and a half more, and still there was no question coming. And Prabhupada said, "Are you finished yet?" And he said, "No." And he continued speaking and speaking. And then Prabhupada, for a third time, said, "Are you finished yet?" And he said, "Yes." And then Prabhupada said, "Then sit down!" And everyone cheered. And if, he was so expert, because if he would have, we all saw it, what he was doing, this man was doing, but if he would have stopped him early, everyone would have sympathized with the man. And Prabhupada just waited and waited and waited till everyone understood. And then he told them in a very strong way to sit down. And that was something about Srila Prabhupada that we don't speak about so often. We speak about his wonderful instructions. We speak about his sweetness. But Prabhupada was strong. He was so strong. He was brave. He was strong. He was bold. His vision was huge. He could not have spread the Krishna consciousness movement unless he was so strong. And he was not strong on his own strength. As one of the devotees mentioned this morning, Prabhupada was a Bhai Charan. He was fearless. Because look who he had behind him. He had faith, full faith, that his Guru Maharaj was beyond. He was carrying out his order. He was carrying out his order continuously with no other thought. And that was apparent. And he was a flame on fire with the continuous desire that everyone in the universe become Krishna conscious. And Krishna was behind him. And he saw that Krishna was reciprocating with him. And he was so bold and so brave. And yet, despite that, being bold and brave, he was so humble and so gentle and yet so sweet. And I will tell you now, I will finish by telling you perhaps my favorite pastime that I happened to be in with Prabhupada. It was so intimate by Prabhupada, the way Prabhupada did something. This is the many facets of Prabhupada. Now, I've told this to Westerners who don't have experience in India, and they couldn't understand what is wonderful about it. But I doubt that any of you will have difficulty. I had given Prabhupada a ring, a gold ring, when he came to Hong Kong. And then we traveled, and I sat next to Prabhupada on the plane for the time going to Japan. And the ring said on it, Jai ISKCON. I was very young, and there was some problem in ISKCON, and I wanted to encourage Prabhupada. So I gave him a ring that said on it, Jai ISKCON. While we were in Japan, Sudama Prabhu was giving Prabhupada a massage. And Prabhupada, his body, he was so effulgent. And it was so soft and so golden. And he was so internal. And deep. So he was getting Sudama Prabhu was giving a massage, massaging Prabhupada's head, sandalwood oil, mustard oil, his arms and his legs. And then he saw that Prabhupada had a ring on. And I was sitting in the room, perhaps where Maharaj was sitting, and Sudama was sitting about here and massaging Prabhupada. So he said, oh, Prabhupada, you have a new ring. Who gave it to you? And Prabhupada just went, oh, someone. He just made it so personal, like the most carefully guarded secret that he and I held together. So what a person. I wanted to say just one more thing about Maharaj, that Dhanadha Maharaj and I, in perhaps 1986 or 7, maybe 88, we were walking in Vrindavan on the Prikramarg down near Madan Mohan, and we saw Radhanath Maharaj. Do you remember? And there were four or five devotees with him during Kartik, and he was taking them on a Vrindavan Prikrama. You don't remember. So there were four or five devotees he was taking. And we offered obeisances, we exchanged some words, and then we continued in our different directions. Now, one time also, years 1967, Srila Prabhupada was in San Francisco, and Jamuna Mataji's sister Janaki told Prabhupada that she had a dream. And in that dream, there was a kirtan that was so big that the whole world was chanting Krishna's names. And at the end of that kirtan, Prabhupada said, Jai Om Vishnupad Paramhansa, and the whole world bowed down. So she told Prabhupada that dream. And Prabhupada replied by saying, thank you for dreaming like that. Thank you for dreaming like that. So I think that our Radhanath Maharaj had a dream that he wanted to take many, 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 many devotees on Vrindavan Parikrama. And now, we see. So many devotees have come. So, thank you for dreaming like that.
I spoke too long.
Om Ajnati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militang Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunnavadi Paschatta Deshatarine. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. There are times when I just feel like sitting and listening. First, Sachinandan Maharaj spoke so wonderfully. Then Dhanudhar Maharaj and Burijan Prabhu. All the presentations were so brilliant. Did you feel like that it would just don't stop but continue speaking? And I feel guilty for being the cause of interruption. When Sachinandan Maharaj was speaking, one point came very strongly to me. He was speaking about Srila Prabhupada's implicit faith on the holy name.
That
reminded me of one incident. Srila Prabhupada had a very wonderful godbrother, Srila
Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj.
He was very wonderful devotee and very simple, and he also had implicit faith in the holy name. All the time he would just chant, wherever he was, he would just chant, and he was always laughing. One day, he told me that he often used to, fortunately, I was very fortunate to have a lot of affection from him. And he used to come to me, sometimes he even stayed in my room in Mayapur. And one night he was speaking about Srila Prabhupada, and he was telling about one encounter he had with one of his other godbrothers, who was also very scholarly. He also went to the West. He also was an erudite speaker, and he also had a very deep command over English language. And he told him, "You are so scholarly, so is Swami Maharaj." He used to address Srila Prabhupada as Swami Maharaj. You also have such a wonderful command over English language. You also are a very powerful preacher. You also went to the West to preach. But why Swami Maharaj is so
successful
and you are not? And then he told him that it's because of his implicit faith on the holy name. And we saw Srila Prabhupada, all he had as his most profound spiritual asset was his faith in the holy name. He went to America. He just went to the Tompkins Square Park. So Prabhupada just, when he went to America, all he did is went to the Tompkins Square Park and started to chant. When he got the 22nd Avenue, the small little storefront, and started his preaching movement there, Prabhupada simply chanted. Although he used to give Bhagavad Gita classes in the evening, but devotees who came to meet Srila Prabhupada, or came to this program of Srila Prabhupada, they simply were attracted to Srila Prabhupada's chanting. And it is through this chanting of this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra that Srila Prabhupada established this movement with a very profound slogan: chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Srila Prabhupada gave the simple formula to everybody in this world how to become happy. Everybody wants to become happy, but nobody knows how to become happy. But Srila Prabhupada showed them how to become happy. Just chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So today we are celebrating Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day. This morning in Krishna Balaram temple, when we are having this Viraha Mahotsav program, one of our God brother very profoundly said that this day of disappearance makes him most conscious of Srila Prabhupada. So this is not a day when Srila Prabhupada disappeared, but this is a day when Srila Prabhupada actually appeared to us, to be with us all the time, provided we are willing to receive his mercy. Yesterday I was speaking on Srila Prabhupada, and it came to a point, I was describing how Srila Prabhupada came to Vrindavan, why Srila Prabhupada came to Vrindavan, and what Srila Prabhupada was doing in Vrindavan those days. But I did not go into the final pastimes of Srila Prabhupada. And later on, one devotee was asking me, why didn't you describe Srila Prabhupada? Why didn't you tell us? Because you were there. And I was telling that actually that's a thing that I generally don't feel like describing, because it's in a way it's a little painful to remember those days. But this devotee was telling that I heard that Srila Prabhupada, even by leaving his body he taught us how to prepare ourselves for that moment. All throughout, Srila Prabhupada had been instructing us. All throughout, Srila Prabhupada had been teaching us. And Srila Prabhupada even taught us till the last moment on this planet. And therefore, today, when Radhanath Maharaj wanted me to speak, I was telling him that I would maybe discuss about those final days of Srila Prabhupada. I joined ISKCON quite late. I think in that way, from that calculation, I am the youngest devotee here. Because I came very, very late. I came, Prabhupada left this planet in 77 and I joined this movement in 1976. Those days, Srila Prabhupada had thousands of followers and devotees were dying to have a moment of Prabhupada's association. And although I came so late, I had the good fortune of being with Srila Prabhupada practically 24 hours a day. And that enabled me to travel with Srila Prabhupada. And I was serving him as his personal servant. I was serving him as his secretary for Indian affairs. And Srila Prabhupada also gave me the service during our first meeting to translate his books into Bengali. So all this actually allowed me to be with Srila Prabhupada practically all the time. Srila Prabhupada was in Bombay and some old acquaintances of Srila Prabhupada who were very important people. One was the ex-governor of Madras and his brother-in-law, who was the chairman of a very renowned industry called Bajaj Industries. They were brothers-in-law, Sriman Narayan and Ramkrishna Bajaj. One day they came to meet Srila Prabhupada and they requested Srila Prabhupada, seeing that Srila Prabhupada's health condition was quite frail at that time. So they suggested that Prabhupada went to Rishikesh. So Prabhupada liked the idea, and these two individuals, they're very influential people. So they arranged for Srila Prabhupada one of the most beautiful houses in Rishikesh those days, a house called Ganga Darshan, right on the bank of the river Ganges. So Prabhupada went there, and three of us traveled with him, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Upendra Prabhu, and myself. And a few other devotees were already there. Trivikram Maharaj was there. Pramana Swami and Biraha Prakash Swami also were there. They were making the arrangements for making the place comfortable for Srila Prabhupada. So, Prabhupada was there, but after a few days, Prabhupada was not feeling very well, and at night, Srila Prabhupada, while I was attending him from 12 to 2 o'clock at night, Prabhupada called me and told me that the time has come for him to leave the planet, and he wanted to leave his body in Vrindavan, and he asked, please make arrangements for me to go to Vrindavan immediately. So this, hearing Srila Prabhupada speak like this was such a shocking experience. I was practically trembling and I ran down the stairs, ran into Tamal Krishna Maharaj's room and woke him up and told him what Srila Prabhupada said. Tamal Krishna Maharaj also jumped out of his bed and ran upstairs and went to Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada told him the same thing. The time has come for me to leave the planet. I want to leave my body in Vrindavan, so please make arrangements for me to go to Vrindavan. So that night only we packed everything. In the morning we left. We came to Delhi. That night Prabhupada stayed in Delhi. And then the next morning Srila Prabhupada went to Vrindavan. I think at that time Burijan Prabhu and Dhanudhar Maharaj also, you are not there. Yeah, Dhanudhar Maharaj, I remember, he was there at that time in Vrindavan. Devotees just heard that Srila Prabhupada was coming. They were so ecstatic. Srila Prabhupada is coming. All of a sudden, Prabhupada came to Vrindavan. Hundreds of devotees gathered there and they were greeting Srila Prabhupada. And then... Thank you, Maharaj. Sorry. Then Prabhupada had the darshan of the deities, and then he went to his quarters in Vrindavan. All the devotees followed. Prabhupada came to his darshan room, and there Prabhupada announced why he came. The devotees were so ecstatic that Prabhupada came to Vrindavan all of a sudden, practically unannounced. But when they got to know why Srila Prabhupada came to Vrindavan, they were so heartbroken. I could see many devotees started to cry, as if their ecstasy just turned into agony. Prabhupada quoted that verse from Bhagavad Gita, Dehi Nashmin Jatha Dehi. And he explained that this is the reality. Tatha Dehantara Praptir. At some point we have to give up our body, we have to leave our body. Dhiras Tatra Namuhyati. And a person who is situated in transcendental knowledge, he doesn't become overwhelmed with this happenings of changing of the bodies. And then when everyone left, Srila Prabhupada called me and told me, from now on you don't cook for me and don't force me to eat anything. What's the use of eating when there is no appetite? It was something like an ultimatum that Prabhupada was giving. Don't cook for me. Those days I used to cook for Srila Prabhupada, and sometimes I used to persuade Srila Prabhupada to eat. But now Prabhupada is saying, don't cook for me and don't force me to eat anything. What's the use of eating when there is no appetite? I went and told Tamalakrishna Maharaj that Prabhupada spoke like that. And Tamalakrishna Maharaj also felt very helpless. And he so helpless, because now we can't force Srila Prabhupada to eat. And it appeared as if Srila Prabhupada was going to leave his body without eating and without drinking. I remembered Parikshit Maharaj when he was preparing himself to leave this planet, when he got to know that within 7 days he'll have to leave this body. He went to the bank of Jamuna and stopped eating and sleeping. Just that is called prayopaveshan, prepare sitting down to leave one's body. And Prabhupada stopped eating and the news already spread all over the world that Srila Prabhupada came to Vrindavan to leave his body. Actually, when we stopped in Delhi, Tamal Krishna Maharaj called up Adi Keshav Maharaj, and Adi Keshav Maharaj informed the leading devotees all over the world about Prabhupada's arrival in Vrindavan and the purpose of his coming to Vrindavan. So within a short while, many devotees came to Vrindavan, leading devotees, and they had a meeting, and they decided that Srila Prabhupada is a pure devotee of Krishna. Therefore, whatever Srila Prabhupada wants, Krishna will fulfill that desire of Srila Prabhupada. So if Srila Prabhupada wanted to leave, rather, if Prabhupada wanted to live, if Srila Prabhupada wanted to stay on, then Krishna will allow him to, Krishna will let him stay. And they also concluded that we are so young, if Srila Prabhupada leaves at this time, what will happen to us? So they came to Prabhupada's room and they presented this conclusion of their meeting. And I remember Kirtananda Swami was the spokesman of the devotees, and he was telling Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, we are so young, and if you leave us now, we'll become orphans. What will happen to us? And while speaking like that, he broke down crying. And Srila Prabhupada put his hands on his head and told him, well, if you all want me to stay, then I will stay. And everybody was so ecstatic, they just chanted, Hari Bol. Prabhupada started to eat again. I was asked to cook for him again. And one day, after Srila Prabhupada took his lunch, he asked me whether I knew where Gopinath Bazar was. So that was my first visit to Vrindavan, so I didn't even step out of our ISKCON temple boundary. And I told that to Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada, I don't know where Gopinath Bazar is, but I can find out where it is. Then Prabhupada said, go to Gopinath Bazar, and there is an Ayurvedic doctor called Banamali Kaviraj. So you go and tell him that I am not very well, I need some treatment, and he will remember me. Tell him that I used to live in Radha Damodar temple, and sometimes he used to come and treat me. I didn't have to tell him all that. You know, when I mentioned that I was coming from Srila Prabhupada, he immediately recognized. But Banamali Kaviraj at that time was a very old man. Prabhupada at that time was 82 years old, but Banamali Kaviraj was 92 years old. And so I told him that Prabhupada wanted him to treat him. So Banamali Kaviraj said, look, then he'll have to come here because I don't go anywhere. I can't go anywhere. So I persuaded, I begged him that please come. And so finally he agreed, and I took him to Srila Prabhupada. And there Srila Prabhupada, he treated Srila Prabhupada. And after that, after treating Srila Prabhupada, he told me, the problem is this medicine that I'll give has to be prepared freshly. And so what to do? So I said, we can arrange for you to stay in the guest house. So he said, no, I can't stay in the guest house, I have to go home. Then I told him, then you can show me how to make that medicine, then I can make it and give it to Srila Prabhupada. So he liked that idea. So he took me to the field. Probably remember those days around Krishna Balaram temple at the back, it was all open field. And there were some big houses with lot of land. So he took me to the field and he showed me some herbs. Two herbs. One is called Pathar Kuchi and the other is called Punar Nava. And he picked those leaves from the
plants,
crushed them, extracted the juice from those two leaves, and then he added some two different salts. One was white and the other was pink. And he showed me how to make it. First time he made it, he showed me how to make it. And he told that three times a day we have to give that medicine. And he started to treat Srila Prabhupada. Every day I used to pick him up. I used to take Prabhupada's car and pick him up, and he used to come and treat Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada's condition started to improve. But when Prabhupada's condition improved, then Prabhupada wanted to leave and go to the West. I told Banamali Kaviraj that Prabhupada is planning to go to the West. He said, please don't let him go now. This medicine is working, and in winter I will give him Makaradhaj, which will build him up, and by that time his body will become stronger and the cold of the winter also will help him retain this Makaradhaj. From his description, it seemed that Makaradhaj was a very powerful medicine. And so I told that to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, that Banamali Kaviraj is suggesting that Prabhupada didn't leave. And he continued to treat him, and in a few months Prabhupada's condition will become normal. But Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, look, what can we do? It's Prabhupada who wanted to leave. And you know how it is, when Prabhupada wants something, nobody can stop him. And Prabhupada also, I could also hear Prabhupada speaking things, saying things like, a warrior doesn't want to leave his body, or warrior doesn't want to die on his bed. For a warrior to die on his bed is a disgrace. For a warrior, is desirable to die on the battlefield. So Prabhupada's statement used to make statements like that. That he wanted to. He didn't like to stay on bed, lie on bed, and so he wanted to go to the West. So eventually, the arrangement was made for Prabhupada to leave India. The plan was that Prabhupada would go to London. And from London, he would go to New York, from New York to Gitanagari, Gitanagari to Los Angeles, Los Angeles to Hawaii. And in Hawaii, Prabhupada wanted to translate his books. And so Prabhupada left. At the middle of the night, Prabhupada actually had to drive to Delhi because the flight was early in the morning. So Prabhupada was all dressed up, ready to leave, and I was sitting at his feet in his room. So Prabhupada asked me, aren't you coming? So I told Prabhupada, no Prabhupada, I didn't have my passport with me. Then Prabhupada said, okay, then you join me in Hawaii. And the next morning, Srila Prabhupada left for London. I think that's the time you all came to see him. Because many devotees from all over Europe came to meet Srila Prabhupada in London. Prabhupada spent the Janmashtami there at that time. And also he spent his Vaspuja in London. But unfortunately, when Prabhupada was in London, his health condition deteriorated. And he also had a minor operation there. And as a result of that, Srila Prabhupada had to come back. Prabhupada decided to come back to India. He came first to Bombay and then to Vrindavan. I didn't know that Srila Prabhupada came back to India. I was in Mayapur at that time. One afternoon, I was giving a class to a group of new bhaktas. Then I received a telegram saying, come to Vrindavan immediately. Prabhupada wants you to come to Vrindavan immediately. It was a telegram sent by Tamal Krishna Maharaj. So I just left and came to Vrindavan the next day. And I arrived in Vrindavan in the evening. Tamal Krishna Maharaj told me that Prabhupada was taking rest. So I thought since Prabhupada was taking rest, I wouldn't go to his room. And I was sitting at Tamal Krishna Maharaj's office just next to Prabhupada's room. And then Upendra Prabhu, who was Prabhupada's servant at that time, Upendra Prabhu came out, and when he saw me, he was very happy to see me, and he said, come in. Come inside. So we went to Srila Prabhupada's room, and I saw that Prabhupada was lying on his bed. I could see that Prabhupada's body became so thin. Like already Prabhupada's body was quite emaciated, but now it seemed to be very, very frail, very, very thin. And at one point, Srila Prabhupada woke up coughing. So Upendra immediately went to attend him. And then he told Prabhupada that I came. So Prabhupada told him to ask me to come to him. So I went to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada told me that he would like to sit up. So I helped him. While I was helping him to sit up, I could see that Prabhupada's body became so thin. And I told him, Prabhupada, you became so thin. And Prabhupada said, yes, now this body is just a set of bones in a bag of skin. Prabhupada became so emaciated. But still, Prabhupada's spirit was so high. When Prabhupada would speak, you couldn't make out that Prabhupada physically was so frail and weak. Many of you probably recall that Prabhupada was still translating. Prabhupada was lying on his bed. He was so weak that he couldn't even turn to his side by himself. We had to help him to turn him very tenderly, very carefully. Because if we are not careful, then Prabhupada would feel pain. But even in that condition, Prabhupada was continuing to translate. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj used to encourage him, Prabhupada, today you have done so much translation that in the dictaphone you count the numbers, points. So, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj would say, Prabhupada, today you translated 350 points. and in this way, and Prabhupada used to be quite happy to hear the translation, that he was continuing his translation even in that condition. Many of you may have seen the video that Pradyumna Prabhu used to read the Sanskrit verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada was translating the 13th and 14th chapters of the 10th canto at that time. And one of us used to hold the microphone close to Srila Prabhupada's mouth. Pradyumna Prabhu, Prabhupada's Sanskrit editor, used to read the verses, and Prabhupada used to give the translation and his Bhaktivedanta purport. Even a few days before leaving his body, Srila Prabhupada translated in that way. One day Srila Prabhupada told us that he had a dream that a Ramanuji Kaviraj means an Ayurvedic doctor, an Ayurvedic doctor from Ramanuja Sampradaya was preparing Makaradhaj for him. So this Makaradhaj is the same medicine that Banamali Kaviraj also suggested that he would give to Srila Prabhupada. So Tamalkrishna Maharaj told me to go and look around Vrindavan if we can find any Ramanuji Kaviraj. So I looked around, there is a Ramanuja temple, Srirangam temple, that's the place I went first. And I went around all over Vrindavan in search of a Ramanuji Kaviraj, but couldn't find one. And then Adridharan Prabhu, who was the temple president of Calcutta at that time, he reported that he found a Ramanuja Kaviraj from Calcutta who is willing to come. And so he himself brought this Ayurvedic doctor. His name was Damodar Prasad Shastri. And he started to treat Srila Prabhupada. He was giving us all high hopes that Prabhupada's condition will become worse. But unfortunately, Prabhupada's condition didn't improve. It started to deteriorate. Then one morning, Damodar Prasad Shastri, he didn't speak English, he used to speak in Hindi, and I used to translate that to other devotees, mainly Tamalkrishna Maharaj and Bhavananda Maharaj, who were also taking care of Srila Prabhupada at that time. And so Damodar Prasad Shastri told me that morning that for about 12 hours Srila Prabhupada did not pass urine, and if he did not pass urine, then probably within 12 hours No, he actually said 14 hours, I remember. It was around 5 o'clock in the morning that he told me that in about 14 hours' time, Srila Prabhupada will leave his body. The consideration was to use a catheter and make Prabhupada pass urine. But Tamalkrishna Maharaj recalled that Prabhupada very strongly instructed us that nothing should penetrate his body. Prabhupada told that no injection, there shouldn't be any needle piercing his body or anything should penetrate his body. But Tamalkrishna Maharaj was quite hesitant to make any decision by himself. So he called the other senior devotees. At that time in Vrindavan, there were many senior leaders of ISKCON present. So he called them to Prabhupada's bedroom. Actually, Prabhupada was sleeping those days in his darshan room. Prabhupada's bedroom was in the corner of that quarters. So he called them, And he explained the situation, what Damodar Prasad said, whether to use catheter or not. And he also explained that Srila Prabhupada didn't want anything to pierce his body. And so everybody agreed that we should not use catheter. So it was informed to the leading devotees what may happen. And usually Prabhupada's, very few devotees were allowed into Prabhupada's room. Very rarely Prabhupada's room was open to all. But this time Prabhupada's room was open to all. And from morning till evening, a beautiful kirtan was going on. Like devotees were chanting in such a... I think that was the most profound kirtan I ever heard. And also I recall, which I recalled later on, that from that time onwards, from 5 o'clock, practically from 5 o'clock in the morning till about 7:30, I was just standing by Srila Prabhupada's bed. Sometimes Prabhupada would open his mouth and I would give him some Jamuna water. And many devotees came. Some of Prabhupada's godbrothers also came. Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj was there, sitting by his bedside. Prabhupada's sister Pishima was there. She was also sitting there. From time to time, Srila Prabhupada would open his mouth and I would pour some water. And Babaji Maharaj pointed out that, see, he's still chanting. And I could see that when Prabhupada opened his mouth, his tongue was vibrating softly. It was not audible, but we could see that Srila Prabhupada was chanting. That Babaji Maharaj pointed that out to us. Then it went on for the whole day, like devotees were chanting. Many of us did not move out of that room. We stood where we were. And I don't know how the time passed. We didn't have any awareness of the outside world. All of us were completely focused onto Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. And then at about 7:24, Damodar Prasad told that Damodar Prasad, this doctor, also was there by Prabhupada's bedside, and he said, Prabhupada left. I couldn't believe that Srila Prabhupada could leave us, so I said, no, please check carefully. Just to satisfy me, he just put the stethoscope. And he looked at me. Then he also, to reassure us, he took some cotton wool, placed it in front of Srila Prabhupada's nose, and you could see that the cotton wool didn't move. Everybody could understand what may have happened. Devotees started to chant very loudly. It was a different kind of loudness. It is as if the sound of cry that was going on while they were chanting the holy name. Prabhupada's sister Pishima, she was there sitting just next to Prabhupada's bed. And all of a sudden, tears just came streaming down her eyes. It appeared like as if a water pot just broke and the water came rushing down. The devotees started to cry and at the same time chant. That night, Srila Prabhupada was taken to the temple room. He was placed on his vasasan. And throughout the night, devotees chanted in front of Srila Prabhupada. Next morning, Srila Prabhupada was taken to all the temples. Actually, we were not very well informed or well conversant with the Vaishnava culture so much in those days. So when the news spread that Srila Prabhupada left and we were arranging to put Prabhupada into Samadhi, then some of the Goswamis of different temples came and he said that you can't do that without taking him to all the temples in Vrindavan. So then the arrangement was made that we would take Srila Prabhupada out on a procession. So Prabhupada went and visited all the important temples of Vrindavan and to have his darshan of the deities there. Then he came back to Krishna Balaram temple and then he entered into his samadhi. This also reminds me one incident. One day, when I served Srila Prabhupada his prasad one afternoon, Prabhupada said, you can see that I can't eat. Why do you cook? You have so many other things to do. There is no need to cook for me anymore. So I told Prabhupada, I cook with a hope, with an expectation that someday you may get your appetite and want to eat something. Prabhupada said, I will get my appetite only when I leave this body. These words of Srila Prabhupada came with such a shock, I just broke down. And Srila Prabhupada said, is this what you learned from me? Didn't I tell you that we all are eternal and our relationship is eternal? Often I recall that statement of Srila Prabhupada and with a great conviction I feel that if I remain loyal to Him, if I continue to serve Him with all sincerity, then someday I'll be able to be with Him once again. Srila Prabhupada is still there only we are not able to see him with our physical eyes. Someday, if we can develop our spiritual vision, then we'll be able to see Srila Prabhupada there, waiting for us to go back to him. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunnavadi Paschatta Deshatari.